Imagine like playing a game of Jenga, but instead of pulling pieces out, you're trying to force heavy steel anvils into the middle of the tower.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a really dangerous game of Jenga.
Right. And then on top of that, you're stacking 19 brand new rows on top. Oh, and the tower is a 1960s concrete skyscraper, just hovering over one of the densest cities on Earth.
Which is basically a direct recipe for structural collapse.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. We've got a stack of sources today for you: news reports, engineering analyses, real estate newsletters, and even NYC controller data.
Lots to get through today.
Yeah, because our mission is to figure out why this massive trend of turning empty office cubicles into residential condos is, well, such a terrifying structural and economic puzzle.
And we saw exactly how terrifying that puzzle can get recently, right? Like on July 7th, 2026. This was at the former Pfizer headquarters in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, the Metroloft project.
Exactly, yeah. So developer Metroloft was working on this massive 1,600-unit conversion. And suddenly, two steel columns on the 21st floor just buckled.
Wait, they just buckled.
Just buckled. The floors sagged, and they actually had to evacuate the entire area.
But I mean, the developer called it a, quote, very small issue that just, happens during construction. I'm struggling to see how buckling steel in a skyscraper is a minor thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not. The original steel frame from the 1960s was forged to hold wide open spaces, right? Lightweight cubicle partitions, that sort of thing.
Sure, just desks and chairs.
Right. But to make the building residential, they were adding 19 new stories right on top of a 10-story section.
Wow, 19 stories.
Yeah, which adds just an immense amount of what engineers call dead load. It's the permanent static weight of the structure itself.
Because we're talking thousands of pounds of heavy concrete walls between apartments
Right.
for like soundproofing and fire safety, plus endless miles of new plumbing.
Exactly. And those older columns simply weren't designed to be crushed by that kind of dense static mass.
Which kind of forces us to ask, why are developers taking these massive engineering risks to carve out apartments instead of just finding an easier path?
Now, it's because the very shape of modern offices basically fights residential living at every single turn.
Yeah, our sources actually note that 70% of empty offices are what they call architecturally stranded assets.
Right.
They're functionally obsolete because their floor plates are just too deep. Like, we're talking 65 to 80 feet from the central elevator core out to the exterior glass.
And that's a huge problem, because building codes require natural light for
Of
bedrooms.
course.
So if you carve a deep floor plate into apartments, you end up creating these massive, totally unlivable dark zones right in the middle of the
And
building.
nobody wants to live in a windowless cave.
Exactly. And even if you somehow solve the geometry, say by cutting light wells down the center, the plumbing mechanics will stop you cold.
Oh, the plumbing?
Yeah, office buildings centralize their plumbing. They usually run just like one cluster bathrooms per floor.
But an apartment building needs distributed plumbing, right? Meaning separate pipes running to every single kitchen and bathroom.
Yeah, and coring through solid concrete to add those new plumbing stacks, I mean, it cost anywhere from $28,000 to $48,000 for each vertical run.
Wait, per run.
Per run. Plus, adding the required fire stairs costs another $180,000 to $340,000 per floor.
Okay, so at those prices, why aren't developers just tearing these concrete monoliths down and starting fresh? It seems so much easier.
Well, demolition in a dense city is just astronomically expensive. And there's also the issue of embodied carbon.
Right, the environmental cost.
Yeah, it's the greenhouse gas emissions already spent to manufacture the building's original steel and concrete. Tearing it down wastes all that locked-in carbon and then, requires emitting even more to build new.
That makes sense.
But owners are desperate right now. I mean, national office vacancy hit 17.8% in March 2026.
But the free market math just doesn't work on its own. Conversions cost about $300 to $420 per square foot, while ground-up new construction is like $500 to $600.
Right, so conversion is technically cheaper, but only if you don't go bankrupt replacing all those mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems.
What the industry calls MEP.
Exactly. And because that math is so precarious, local governments are having to artificially tip the scales.
Yeah, and in New York City, that artificial tip is a new tax exemption program called 467 meters.
Right.
It grants developers decades of property tax breaks, provided that 25% of the units are income restricted.
Meaning they're permanently rent stabilized, right?
Exactly. But The NYC Comptroller data estimates this will cost the city about $5.1 billion in future tax revenue.
Wow. So essentially, 467 Meter acts as the government purchasing affordable housing.
Basically, yeah.
They're giving up that future tax revenue just to offset those massive MEP replacement costs for the developers. Without that government intervention, most of these housing projects would never even leave the drawing board.
Never. So the next time you look at your city skyline and wonder why those empty glass towers aren't being turned into affordable apartments, well, now you know. It's an engineering nightmare, heavily subsidized by taxpayers, and just fraught with structural risks.
It's a very fragile equation that really only works for a select few buildings.
Which leaves a giant question hanging over our cities. If only 30% of our office buildings actually have the geometry to become housing, what on earth is going to happen to the other 70% of those stranded concrete monoliths taking up our skylines?